Hi guys, this is Angela and I'm here to talk to you about gender representation in action movies and specifically the character Wonder Woman and how she's been represented. Since she's a figure that everyone knows and she recently featured prominently in a movie just last year, as I'm sure you guys are aware. I'm going to start off with a little bit of background on her character and then I'm going to discuss her representation and how it's evolved in both comics and film. So she was created in January 1942 by William Moulton Marston, and so she's been around for a long time, and she was initially created as a feminine ideal of the time. It was important to the creator that she was extremely feminine because of the very masculine comic book characters at the time, and so therefore he made love her main motivation. But since then, she's become a symbol of feminism, and there has been a lot of difficulty of having female space in comic book culture, so her marketability has been a problem for her appearing in any film, and a problem of her imagery over the years. So, as I'm sure you know, there's been a lot of hypersexualization of female characters. And so this has happened to Wonder Woman over the years too. And her look has fluctuated a lot. Also because of historical influence, like the war, when there's this move for women having to be in the workplace. And images like Rosie the Riveter are similar to how Wonder Woman was shown during the war. But then, for example, during the 50s, gender roles were reinforced again, and so her look was changed back. So her look has fluctuated a lot, and her images in film have been problematic as well. In 1974, there was a TV film that was made with terrible reviews, and in 1975, they made a television series where her look's a lot different from her look in the film, in the recent film. And in terms of her comic book look, her character was rewritten in 1987 from scratch by George Perez, who created a new origin story, who consulted Gloria Steinem to show her less suggestively and to write her differently. But that has gone back and forth. After he stopped writing the character, she was rewritten more suggestively sometimes as well. There's been an ongoing contradiction in how she's been portrayed. And this is for this reason, many have put off making a film because she was called too tricky to show. But finally, filmmakers have confronted this. They had a lot of success with the recent film, and they managed to combat the notion that she was an untouchable character and too difficult to represent, and many believe she's become a powerful image of feminism again.
Black comic book characters were portrayed as sidekicks and secondary characters for over five decades. As of January 2018, this pattern began to change in the media, with the emergence of the shows Black Lightning and Luke Cage, as well as the Black Panther movie, which had not been released at the time this article was written. Prior to Black Panther, Marvel had introduced black superheroes into movies, but they were all put into secondary roles. The author of this article, Steve Ross, found that the emergence of these new heroes came as a result of race relations in the United States. And he says, quote, "We've reached a time where people are hungry for diversity. A lot of art comes out of that," end quote. Luke Cage and Black Lightning focused on showing the discrimination showed towards African Americans in everyday settings, but Black Panther doesn't follow this pattern. It shows a, quote, "prosperous, technologically advanced African nation," a marked contrast to previous stereotypical depictions of the continent, end quote. Although black superheroes are being brought into shows and movies now, they've been around for almost 40 to 50 years and were created around the time of the Civil Rights Movement. And like that time period, current events in America helped pave the way for black heroes. Since African Americans were becoming more and more tired of being secondary characters in life, and always being looked at as unequal to white Americans. Instead of the civil rights movement shaping the transition of movies and television shows showing a new category of superheroes today, it's now shaped by the Black Lives Movement and the quote, resurgence of white nationalism and institutional racism resulting from Donald Trump's presidency, end quote. These new heroes often played a bigger role than just entertaining its audience, but influencing its viewers to start focusing on themselves and what they could achieve. This is seen greatly with Black Panther comics, which were made just months before the Black Panther Party was founded. The emergence of more dominant Black heroes comes from the changing ideas and events happening in the world today.
Hello, this is Jasmine. I will also be discussing the representation that occurred in the different comic book editions of Wonder Woman and how these editions were directly influenced by a lot of what was occurring in history, including the evolution of how feminism is defined. The changes that occurred over time, even the period in the early 90s, where Wonder Woman and the Amazons were completely hypersexualized by writer William Matthew Loeb's, allowed for the Wonder Woman character introduced in the film last year to shine as a relatable superhero. Wonder Woman, or Diana, was not only brought into a space different than she was used to in her own world, but in our world too. Angela mentioned how the writer of Wonder Woman from 1987 to 1992, George Perez, completely reimagined her for the new origin story that DC Comics introduced in 1987. Feminism was changing into its third wave during this time. It brought a focus to topics such as equality, diversity, inclusivity, and individualism. This is different from earlier waves of feminism, when Wonder Woman made her first appearance in comics, because many thought it was too heteronormative and white. Nobody wanted to take on the title, allowing Perez some extra freedom in his writing. He definitely took advantage of it in this new wave. It probably helped that he had Karen Berger too, who was the title's first female editor. Perez was able to write Wonder Woman less suggestively in those years, while also touching on a few things such as sexual fluidity and racial diversity. Different from the Wonder Woman in the early 90s, the Wonder Woman written by Phil Jimenez in the early 2000s was a superhero whose politics were feminist and queer. He was back and forth in her characterization after Perez, and who fans believe Wonder Woman should be and represent. This just emphasizes that Wonder Woman is complex and we shouldn't be afraid of that.
Hi guys, Leah here, and as you've already gathered from my partners, representation has become the main focal point of our research, with an emphasis on Black and female superheroes. Currently, heroes like Wonder Woman and Black Panther are being praised after well-received high-budget films, with Black Panther also on the rise to become the highest-grossing superhero film, cutting out major projects like The Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy. But before these movies came about, where did these heroes rank among the most notable names, like Spider-Man and Green Lantern? And more importantly, how are they being represented in pop culture? The article I dove into focused specifically on images and how certain images make for a more memorable figure. We recognize things like brightly colored capes and bodysuits, even masks and face paint. If you asked the average person to identify the bat signal or Superman's house sigil, it wouldn't be a very lengthy task. So if it's symbols that make or break an icon, then why is it that Black superheroes aren't designed with the same visuals as their white counterparts? Blade, the vampire hunter, is the first Black superhero to step out onto the scene, but without the garb of, say, Superman, with no cape and no mask, many are hard-pressed to recognize his status. He is one of the few Black characters, however, not to undergo a redesign, unlike his fellow POCs like Luke Cage and Black Lightning. Author Blair Davis makes it clear that the wardrobe choices of these characters become an exaggeration of their African heritage and otherness, from Luke Cage's first costume donning chains and shackles as what is arguably a reminder of his ancestral slavery, as well as Black Lightning, who donned a removable Afro wig. Afros were often seen as a political statement around the height of the civil rights movement and emergence of the Black Panther Party. These obvious outfit choices didn't happen to just male characters, but female characters as well. Storm, from the X-Men, and Vixen, the first Black DC heroine and member of the Justice League, are explicitly stated to be from Africa. Storm herself started out as a deity or a goddess, much like Diana and the Amazons. Storm and Vixen are hypersexualized as well, yet dressed in revealing cloth that is supposed to draw parallels to being animal-like or savage, and in turn likened to what is stereotypically displayed as the deserts slash jungles of Africa. And even though Storm and Vixen wear a whole lot of nothing, with bare thighs, bare shoulders, and low-cut tops, just like Wonder Woman, their African heritage is often dramatized and poked fun at. Times are changing, though, and movies like The Black Panther portraying Africa as, like Justin said, an advanced and wealthy society, which is changing perceptions, and the newest Wonder Woman adaptation being so well received, we can only hope that the trend continues and that representation remains on the rise.